The thrill and excitement of March Mania is here, and DraftKings Sportsbook, one of America's top-rated sportsbook apps, is giving new customers a shot to turn $5 into $150 instantly in bonus bets with any college basketball bet. You can find all the lines and available odds, of course, at the DraftKings Sportsbook app. North Carolina listeners, don't forget, DraftKings Sportsbook is now live in your state. Download the DraftKings Sportsbook app and use code SBNFL. New customers can bet $5 to get $150 instantly in bonus bets only at DraftKings Sportsbook with code SBNFL. The crown is yours. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER or in West Virginia, visit www.1800gambler.net. In New York, call 877-8-HOPE-NY or text HOPE-NY. In Connecticut, help is available for problem gambling. Call 888-789-7777 or visit ccpg.org. Please play responsibly on behalf of Boot Hill Casino and Resort. 21 plus, age varies by jurisdiction, void in Ontario. Bonus bets expire 168 hours after issuance. See dkng.com/bball for eligibility, deposit restrictions, terms, and responsible gaming resources.
Good morning, good afternoon, and good night. Welcome on all to Monday, Football Monday here on the SB Nation NFL Show, presented and sponsored by DraftKings. Stay tuned because you'll hear more about DraftKings and all it has to offer throughout the show. DraftKings, the crown is yours. This is Monday, Football Monday. We obviously are on Mondays here on the SB Nation NFL Show. Make sure to subscribe wherever you get your podcasts, Apple devices, Spotify. If you have one of those weird third-party apps, whatever the case may be, we don't hold any kind of judgment around here. Also, if you want to watch the show, you can do so on the SB Nation NFL YouTube channel. Make sure to subscribe there as well. Like the video and share it with literally every person in your contacts, or else we will be very, very mad. I say we. The incredible Rachelle Prevett is back. She's on the ones and twos. Of course, Rachelle from Bleeding Green Nation. I am RJ Ocho from Blogging the Boys. And with me, as always, the other two legs of our tripod from SBNation.com. They are JP Acosta and Mark Schofield. Mark, what'd you have for dinner last night?
This was an incredible Sunday evening, I got to say, because Simone, who's 10, decided she was going to make dinner. And so she made breaded chicken tenders. She made rice. Owen had made bread earlier in the day for his religious class because we're in the Lenten season. So he made a loaf of bread. I didn't have to do anything. Usually I'm the cook in the house, but I sat back. I was watching the selection show. I was writing for the .com and they made dinner. It was tremendous.
Wow. Okay. Did you have to clean up at all? At least?
No, because this is the other thing. The kids, this is part of their allowance chores. They have to like clear the table and everything. And so they did it all.
You got the game rigged, Mark.
Tremendous. It was tremendous. There are positives and benefits to everything in life, but one of the positives to getting old is when the kids can start doing stuff like this.
Right. Well done, JP. Mark, for the audio audience, is wearing his Williams Racing sweatshirt. Are you kind of bothered that we haven't gotten any free stuff from anybody that we work with around here?
I haven't gotten anything for free. Actually, there's one thing I got from Red Bull BC One when I went to the cover their pro breaking event in Orlando. They got me a beanie. So shout out to Red Bull BC One. They're headed over to Paris this summer for the Olympics, where they will be having pro breaking for the first time, so that should be fun to watch. But yeah, I got a beanie from Red Bull.
Okay, so I'm the only one missing out here. All right, that's fine.
Cowboys haven't sent you anything.
You know what? They've just sent me into turmoil. Is really all that they have offered me these days. These are the days. I guess the Ides of March. Is that correct? We still are maybe past the Ides of March. It is March 18th, Monday, March 18th, obviously, 2023. It's almost spring in a literal sense. Are either of you aware that tomorrow's the first official day?
Really?
Well, we made it. Not yet.
It's tomorrow. So
that's true. You know, you can't assume anything right in life. I mean, there's some ways to go.
But there are a lot of, you know, football things happening, a lot of non-football things happening, especially at the Star in Frisco. So to kind of celebrate the football things happening with the non-football things happening, I came up with something that definitely didn't happen in the final 30 minutes of preparation while I was walking my dog, something I definitely thought about all weekend long. Free agency, I told you it's not really superlatives, but just kind of prompts based on where we're at in the sports calendar year, if that is all right with you, JP, if you approve.
I'm in.
Mark, are you down?
Yeah, I'm down.
Okay, so we have five selected prompts that will hopefully spearhead some incredible free agency discussion across the NFL. You can take them in any direction that you like. I'm here to kind of guide you. I'm the person that says, like, no flash photography allowed, et cetera, et cetera.
Keep your hands and arms inside the
pole. Exactly, especially if you're on a stupid ride like car or something like that. Anyway.
Oh, my goodness. We're really
why would you open up with this negativity? We're not even all 4 right. minutes in.
All right. We're good. Anyway, we made it through that too. All right. So let's go ahead and start. You mentioned, Mark, you were watching the selection show. The NCAA tournament begins in earnest on Thursday. Obviously, you know, if you care about the first four, yeah, that's.
There's still games.
I mean, that's a you thing.
They're going to keep scoring.
Either way, like, the top four one seeds of free agency are what in either of your minds? If you don't have to, but if you assembled an NCAA tournament bracket of free agency things that have happened, the four one seeds, the four, you take it again how you want, biggest, baddest, most bodacious, sexiest, whatever you want. JP, we can kind of go back and forth here. You can do one, Mark can do one, whatever. Give us a one seed in terms of free agency things that have happened so far across the NFL.
My first one seed is the Houston Texans signing Danielle Hunter for 2 years, 49
wow.
million
guaranteed. Okay.
This felt like the move that a team can do when they have a good rookie quarterback on a rookie deal. You can make these types of signings. The Texans have really operated this season as if, like, this is going to be the year they're going to be uber competitive and try and go win the Super Bowl. They saw their issues on defense, and they added guys like Danico Autry, Azeez Al-Shaair, who obviously played with D'Amico Ryans in San Francisco. But Danielle Hunter is the main, like, he is the crown jewel of this free agent class signing for the Texans. I think he and Will Anderson pair together so well, and only getting him for 2 years, $49 million with $48 million guaranteed. That seems like a steal when you compare it to guys like John Grenard, who just got paid by the Vikings for $72 million over 4 years. So it feels like, you know, that's a pretty fair valuation for Danielle Hunter, who is still one of the best pass rushers in the NFL. So that's my number one seed.
Good for the Texans doing that. Not necessarily good on the Texans on redoing or giving Joe Mixon a brand new deal. That was like the kind of, you know, one weird thing. But, you know, when you mentioned it, JP, you have a rookie, you know, quarterback or quarterback on a rookie contract, you have the flexibility to do some kind of dumb stuff. Mark, do you have any Danielle Hunter thoughts, or do you want to offer a one seed that you believe is better?
I mean, I don't necessarily think my one seed is better. At least this one seed is better. I agree. That was a great move for Houston. Derrick Henry to the Baltimore Ravens.
Mm.
And I know this is sort of the era of running backs don't matter, but I think an undercurrent to something we talked about all last season, and an undercurrent in a sense to this free agent cycle, is big boy football may not fully be back, but it's coming. And you want to talk about big boy football. I mean, imagine sort of the north-south game that the Ravens can have now with Derrick Henry in the backfield. Imagine the stuff they can build off of that with Lamar Jackson next to. Imagine some of the sort of, you know, horizontal read, vertical read stuff they can do in the sort of the zone read game. I think that's going to be tremendous to see unfold. You're going to have a great thunder and lightning approach when they get Keontae Mitchell back from that knee injury. This is, I think, a tremendous signing for the Baltimore Ravens. And I know they lost some players. I know there's a question that, hey, you know, players that have left that organization, that's something to know. Like, you lost Geno Stone. You lost John Simpson. Like, there are some players that we also assume will be gone, like Odell Beckham Jr., who just this morning sort of posted his goodbye message. But this was one of the NFL's best run games last year in EPA per rush in Baltimore. The Tennessee Titans had a good running game in that same metric because of Derrick Henry. Pairing those two, I think, is massive for this team.
This does feel, not stylistically, but a little bit like Edgerrin James of the Cardinals. Like, a little bit, you know, like it could unlock something different in the offense. Again, very different situations and teams and, you know, again, styles. But, like, I thought that was going to be awesome from the start. I guess maybe a better example would have been like Marshall Faulk to the Rams, probably. Again, not the same stylistically. Do you agree with the assertion, JP, that Derrick Henry is worthy of a one seed?
Yeah, I love this signing for the Ravens. I think it's such a perfect complement to what they want to do, especially in the run game. You think about the Ravens losing Gus Edwards to the Chargers, and now you get an upgraded version of Gus Edwards to kind of be that between the tackles thunder to Keaton Mitchell's lightning when he comes back healthy, or even Lamar Jackson's lightning. And now you'll think about Derrick Henry not having to run in so many loaded boxes and so many eight-man fronts because of the threat of Lamar Jackson and the passing game. And that'll help not only to make Derrick Henry even more efficient, but it'll take some hits off of him. Derrick Henry has a lot of wear and tear on the tires. But now that you have Lamar Jackson to kind of take some of those carries, you have Keaton Mitchell coming back, you have Justice Hill who can eat some of those carries. Now you're basically letting Derrick Henry kind of operate on a pitch count a little bit, and you can let him be even more efficient, even more dangerous in a Ravens offense that's going to continue to hit teams in the mouth.
Yeah. Clinton Portis to Washington. I'm still trying to come up with like a better comp because I didn't like the ones I did. But I think what you said is really astute, JP. I'm going to offer an honorable mention one seed. So you each owe me one more. But on the subject of Washington, JP, I think that there's a level of cope that happens with fans when you're like really down on your team, like everything your rivals are doing starts to look a little bit better. I'm not saying that the Neil Hunter thing isn't great, but I think you're a little bit down on the Jaguars. So that's like the same effect. And similarly, I kind of like what Washington has done. And have they overpaid on some things? Absolutely. But they have literally the most salary cap space in the NFL. And what I really appreciate, and I feel like we haven't seen a lot of teams do, even in the dawn of the like old CBA back in 2011, I like how Washington and Chicago, for that matter, are treating year one of the rookie quarterback contract window as a valued asset. They're not waiting for the quarterback to prove who they are after year one. Not that the Texans did that with CJ Stroud, but like they're saying, we have the situation. We're building our plan based off of the best case scenario. I feel like so many NFL teams act as if like, oh, well, if he sucks, then we'll be able to adjust. No, like you're spending all this time evaluating him because you believe he's going to be awesome. So you should build the team based off of that premise. So it sucks. And I also kind of like that they're letting have Dan Quinn have a bunch of his old dudes back. Like, I like that the head coach has a lot of autonomy over the organization in an era where it needs a new level of leadership. And if Dan Quinn is good and elite at anything, it's certainly that. So that really sucks for me. JP, you owe us the second one, seat, please.
I'm going to stick along the lines of where Mark left off, and I'm going to give my one seed to Saquon Barkley signing with the rival Eagles after spending the first 4 years of his career with the New York Giants. I really, really love this move for the Eagles just because he provides so much more of what the Eagles need in the running back. I think a lot of people misconstrue the fact the Eagles have the best offensive line in football. You can just put any running back there and you can get some good play. If they would have been able to do that, DeAndre Swift would have still been an Eagle. If they're able to do that, Rashad Penny would still be an Eagle. But those guys are not, because they saw that there can be better. They can be more behind that running, in that running back spot. Saquon Barkley is a legitimate home run hitter at position. It provides so much more explosiveness. And especially as the Eagles kind of shift their offensive philosophy, I'm very, very intrigued by what the Kellen Moore Eagles mesh looks like, because those two offenses are very different, especially in the run game and passing game, like the disjointedness of it. So I'm very intrigued by what that looks like. Of course, with Kellen Moore in Los Angeles, there were a lot of checkdowns to Austin Eckler. Is Jalen Hurts going to be able to throw to those checkdowns? Are they going to get Saquon Barkley involved in the passing game? But this opens up so many more possibilities for the Eagles offense by having a really, really good running back behind there. I think DeAndre Swift was fine. He was fine, but there was a clear limit. You know, we saw that clear limit in the Eagles offense, especially in the run game, as Jalen Hurts wore down. The run game didn't work as well. So now I'm excited to see what they can do with arguably their best running back since LeSean McCoy.
Wow, the DeMarco Murray disrespect. You mentioned Kellen Moore. I don't know if either of you saw Austin Eckler, I guess, had his introductory press conference with my Commanders on Monday morning. And he said, this is a John Keim tweet, that part of his issues last season stemmed from ankle injuries as well as a different offensive philosophy. He said the Chargers, you mentioned checkdowns, JP, wanted more downfield throws and downhill runs. So we'll see, you know, what Kellen Moore ultimately wants to do. I'm really interested to see Jalen Hurts' involvement with the downfield throws, but that's not a Saquon thing, to your point. Mark, you brought up the Ravens. JP brought up the Eagles. Really funny how two of the more analytically driven teams in recent history are all of a sudden paying running backs a lot of money.
Yeah, and I mean, you start to wonder about, you know, we all know the phrase, the NFL is a copycat league. We talked a lot about how Detroit sort of built their roster through the draft last year, through the spine of the field, right? You know, adding linebackers, adding a running back, adding a tight end. They got to the NFC Championship game, and you're looking at, you know, what we just saw from these two teams. Obviously, the Ravens made it to an AFC Championship game. The Eagles certainly limped to the playoffs. I think we could describe it that way. But they're following perhaps a similar model, like building through the spine of the field. And if, again, the idea that big boy football is coming back, we truly see it this year. Teams that invested in the running back position are going to pay, are going to see the benefits of it. I also think, look, this also sort of speaks to the draft class because, you know, running back is not viewed as a strength in this incoming draft class. And I think the veteran running backs, as a result, were able to cash in on that because instead of being able to just say, look, you know, we'll move on from a Saquon Barkley, we'll move on from a Derrick Henry, or, you know, we don't have to sign a player like that. We could just add somebody at the draft. That option isn't there. And so teams said, okay, well, we'll go in a different direction and pay these veteran running backs.
You know what? Big boy football's coming back, and my team, they're only running back on the roster, Deuce Vaughn. So watch out. Okay, Mark, give us our fourth one seed, por favor.
I mean, it's the easy one. It's the blue blood that, like, gets into the dance. It is a number one seed.
The Falcons.
You might have some concerns. Yeah, right. The Falcons of Kirk Cousins. It's like Purdue. Look, they lose to Wisconsin. You wondered about, look, are they going to get bounced early again? UNC, they lose to NC State, who had to win 5 games in 5 days to get to the tournament. Like, you still kind of wondered about the Tar Heels. That's Kirk Cousins to Atlanta because on paper, it's a massive upgrade at the quarterback position. He should be a good fit for that offense. He's got weapons around him. But it's what, a 34-year-old quarterback coming off an Achilles heel? Like, there's the sort of upset in the second round. Does it make it to the Sweet 16? This could go south kind of situation. And look, I mean, we saw it last year with a team adds the veteran quarterback and get an Achilles heel 4 plays into the season. Like, I'm not saying it goes south for Atlanta. On paper, it looks good. But it's not perfect. It could go wrong.
JP, it feels like a lot of people are dumping on this. Like, all the goodwill that Kirk built up with people in the middle of the season after Minnesota beat San Francisco on Monday Night Football, and then he got injured. Like, it feels like everybody's like, okay, that was really boring. Like, it's more fun to, like, you know, be meme-y about Kirk and whatever. I feel like the Falcons aren't getting enough credit for, like, going for it. I mean, and they're not even, like, really mortgaging anything. I mean, it's a massive contract, but they can get out after 2 years. Like, we say this all the time. Like, we get mad at NFL teams who aren't, you know, all in or whatever terminology you want to use.
I think this is a sign of the Falcons actually wanting to be ahead of the times with QB play. I think Kirk Cousins gets memed a lot. The primetime Kirk thing does have some legs, but he is a really, really good quarterback. And in the last 2 years in a McVay style offense, he has played the 2 best years of his football career. There's a lot of reasoning for why if he gets down to Zach Robinson, who is for all intents and purposes, one of the up-and-coming play callers in the NFL. Like, people have raved about his ability and his acumen. I really am intrigued by what this offense will look like, especially with Zach Robinson coming from this version of the Rams that kind of took their offense from this West Coast-y outside zone to being more at you with duo and counter and power. And now we're going to see that in Atlanta where they have the personnel to do that now. Right, you don't have to invest too much in the offensive line. You still should, but that offensive line is made to do that kind of stuff. And now you add Kirk Cousins to raise the floor of that offense. Raheem Morris said, I believe at the combine, if we had better quarterback play, he wouldn't have that job. And that's really been what the entire Atlanta Falcons, like, that's been their MO since Matt Ryan has retired. If there has been better quarterback play, then they probably will make the playoffs. This is the year. This is the time where you have to go do it because, of course, Tampa's running it back, but what can you expect out of Baker Mayfield without Dave Canales? The Panthers are still maybe like 5 years away from being like 2 years away. And then the Saints, look, man, I don't know what the Saints are doing. I don't think the Saints know what the Saints are doing. These 2 years, the way I saw it with the structure of the contract is these 2 years are Arthur Blank pushing the chips in to win a title within that window, within these couple of years. Because if you look at how the structures of the contracts of the young guys, you have to start paying Drake London very soon. You got to start paying. You have to make the Kyle Pitts decision very soon. So this is the year. These are the 2 years. This is the window for Atlanta to go try and win the Super Bowl.
Yeah, I feel like we don't give enough credit to the anti-rookie quarterback contract window philosophy. That's what Atlanta is. Like, they have everybody else on rookie contracts, but the quarterback on a lot of money. So good for them. Four worthy one seeds. Calvin Ridley to the Tennessee Titans, really upset that they missed out. So, you know, sorry to them.
I mean, that's like the top ranked two seed. Like, you could see some people. Maybe
I'm sure that will come up through the course of our conversation. Yeah. I realized I should probably like go first just to vamp and give you each time because I'm surprising you with these topics. So I'll do that moving forward. Number two of our five topics here on the prompt show. What made you want to wear green? Today is March 18th. Yesterday was obviously St. Patrick's Day. I didn't see either of you or Rachel, so I hope all of you wore green, you know, or else. Obviously. So that being said, this is super low hanging fruit and I'm going to take it because it really bummed me out. And I think you'll both be okay with it. And that is Tyron Smith joining the New York Jets. Like, what the hell, man? Like, I, in a vacuum, am not upset with this. He's missed a lot of time. He played or he suited up 13 times last year. And that's certainly notable. And I get that it's easy to emotionally bet on that if you're a Cowboys fan. So, but I mean, he'd missed a lot of time. And I know each of you know that over the course of the 3 years prior. And so I would not bet on his health. However, contextually, given, I don't know, like everything the Cowboys have done or haven't done, you kind of needed him. And letting him walk now creates a lot of problems for you because they already let Tyler Biadasz walk to the Commander. So they need a new center. Tyler Smith, I think we all think, is a well-capable left tackle. But even then, he's not Tyron Smith. I mean, he could be very, very, very good and still not be Tyron Smith. And even if you move him, now you have a hole at left guard. And so you potentially, even though Tyler has played the position, have entirely new starters from center out to left tackle in week one of 2024, which is a crazy thing to do in a season where you are expected to do a lot of things in as a franchise that hasn't done a lot of things in a very, very long time. So letting Tyron Smith walk was extraordinarily painful for me. And it is the darkest of dark timelines for me as a Cowboys fan, Mark, if he helps Aaron Rodgers win a Super Bowl.
Yeah, I mean, that's an added painful layer to it, I can only imagine. I mean, to see him go to New York and then to see Aaron Rodgers, who has been a thorn in Cowboys side for how long, have success with him. That's going to stay.
Yeah,
that's
it bums me out. It's like super depressing. Yeah. So thank you for like adding more detail and specification to it.
I mean, look, you know, I that's what I'm here for. I'm here to make your life a little bit more painful every Monday.
Do you have a green thing?
I do. I mean, this isn't Patriots related. It's just player related in a sense. Justin Fields for a conditional sixth round pick. Like that.
I think literally green. You're just going like green in heart. Interesting.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. I mean, to see him. He's probably going to a spot where he could have success, but to see the league, and maybe this is a function similar to the running back discussion of the league, say, look, we got a good quarterback class, so why do we have to go down that road? We can add a quarterback and coach him in our way. Maybe that's what the league was thinking, generally speaking, but I thought another team would have taken a flyer on him as a starting quarterback. Like New England, for example, they had an opportunity where they could have added Justin Fields, drafted somebody at three like Marvin Harrison Jr., and suddenly you're cooking with gas on that offense. Or maybe you trade out of three and you add Roma Dunze and you have Justin Fields and you've added a nice left tackle and suddenly you've got a lot to build around. But instead, look, they had Jacoby Brissett and they're going to draft somebody. I mean, to see Fields go from a top first round pick to being traded for a conditional sixth, it's a fall that at some point we'll understand, but I just don't see it right now.
The 2021 class, JP, is really only held up by your guy, T-Law. That's it.
It was written before time. But I'm going to go from the gang green of the New York Jets to a different color green. I'm going to go to electric green. What are the Seahawks doing? I'm a little confused because they need a good linebacker play, especially in Mike McDonald's defense. Letting Jordan Brooks walk, not only letting Jordan Brooks walk, but to see him go to Miami for $10 million a year has to sting because that's really good value for Jordan Brooks, who is still a very, very good off-ball linebacker. You re-sign Leonard Williams. Of course, we knew that was going to happen. Noah Fant, Farrell Brown being the tight end signings. This just feels like a very interesting process for the Seahawks. It seems to me like they're going to go all in on the offense this year and kind of let the defense grow a little bit. But I'm very confused about their process at linebacker, considering The free agent market has told you what the NFL thinks of this upcoming linebacker class in the draft. It has been such a gulf between what linebackers are expected to do in the NFL versus what they are expected to do in college football. It is the same for quarterbacks, and why quarterback development has kind of taken a hit in the NFL versus where we thought it would be, and linebacker development in the NFL. There's so much different styles of play, and what they're asked to do is so different. I wonder what the Seahawks' plan is at linebacker, considering they let Brooks and Bobby Wagner walk. Bobby Wagner was kind of a foregone conclusion. But now you have a lot of holes in a defense that already came in with a lot of holes. So I'm curious about what their plan is and what the process is behind that in Mike McDonald's first year.
Wow. The Sam Howell disrespect. Also,
of course.
I mean that I don't, that was honest. Like, I want to say that that kind of redeemed Seattle's free agency so far for me, Mark. Like, I mean, because do we – well, that's a strong word to use, JP. I saw you scoff, but, like, I feel like they don't have a – I know your gripes are with the defenses out of the ball, JP, but, like, I mean, at some point, the clock's going to hit midnight on this Geno thing. I feel like it already kind of has. Like, Sam Howell presents an option. You know what I mean? Like, again, I don't feel great about this, but, like, I like entertaining options at the very least. I don't know, Mark, your vibe on Seattle.
Yeah, I mean, I'm definitely with JP on the defensive side of the ball. Like, it's all very sort of confusing. And I thought, look, Mike McDonald, he had an opportunity to bring in Geno Smith. I thought that was going to be a move that they were going to make to, you know, bring somebody who's got a familiarity with his defensive concepts. And, you know, they didn't do that. I am wondering, in respect to the Sam Howell thing in particular, like, yeah, it's a worthwhile flyer. Mm-hmm. You know, you're seeing Drew Lock walk out the door. As you said, at some point, the Geno Smith conversation will turn. You know, at some point they might have to make a move at the quarterback position. And I'm always somebody that's of the mind that, A, if you have an opportunity to perhaps develop a young quarterback, it's worth taking that shot, especially if it's a low-cost investment like this one. And B, you need a QB2 in this league. Like, you just do. It's a fact of life. The quarterback sometimes goes down. You need a viable quarterback behind him. So I do like that. But I think there are problems, and as JP articulated, they're more on the defensive side of the ball. You've had holes coming in, still have holes going out.
Okay. Well, good job, JP, on setting the Seahawks on fire. I hope you feel proud of yourself. Okay, so my next one, I just need a teeny tiny bit of clarification, I think probably from JP, just to make certain. This was the spelling one that Rachel was concerned about. What is your Wick Donalds of last week? So I just want to understand if Wick Donalds is a good thing or a bad thing. Like, that's, again, I'm a little bit confused on this. Mark has the Wick Donalds cup. Mark, can you actually explain that really quickly? Because Rachel didn't know.
Yeah, I mean, I think JP could probably explain it better, but like TLDR version, anime shows would reference McDonald's, but because of licensing rights, couldn't have the actual arches and McDonald's, so they called it WickDonald's. Now, McDonald's, instead of like just suing all these anime shows and all these production companies, said, you know what, we'll lead into it, so they produced WickDonald's.
So JP, is this like a good thing, or is this like, because I kind of view it as like an upside down thing, like a, you know, what's left is right, what's up is down kind of thing.
I think I view it as something that we thought would be a little chaotic or a little bad, but actually turned out to be pretty good.
Okay, then I feel prepared to offer mine and to vamp for each of you to think and marinate just a second. Now, I don't know if this is going to be good, but I think I can spin it good. And it is the Philadelphia Eagles trading for Kenny Pickett. So this is Kenny Pickett is a, every now and then we get players who have their stands, who have their groupies, who like are just hung on for whatever reason. Kenny Pickett's definitely one of those dudes. And obviously the crossover between Pitt fans and Steelers fans is immense, which is probably a big reason for this. That being said, Kenny Pickett goes for, I think, more than we thought, and is, you know, given up on by the Steelers, which is probably the most notable thing. I do find it interesting, though, the chaos of it all, that he was traded for by the Eagles specifically. I know the Eagles were in on Justin Fields, so like this is kind of not necessarily a Kenny Pickett specific thing, but I applaud teams for prioritizing QB2. That's the way I made sense of the Cowboys trading for Trey Lance last year, because I feel like not enough teams do give it proper consideration, and you end up in a situation where you need that position, you know, for a month, and you're screwed if you don't have somebody who's capable. So I like the archetype of the young quarterback who has started a lot of games, has that experience. Pickett, Fields certainly offer that. But it is kind of weird, especially when there has been some questions about Field. I mean, Jalen Hurts, maybe I'm reading too much into that from a Cowboys slant, Mark. I don't know. It's a weird thing that Kenny Pickett is now an Eagle at the very least.
Yeah, it's a weird thing. I think it sort of fits in line with, You know, if you think back to when they drafted Hurts, you know, Roseman had that line.
Right. It feels
we want to be in the quarterback development business. We want to be a QB factory. So this is, and I sort of wrote about this, like you look at all the QBs they've added just since they drafted Wentz, whom they traded up to go get. Like right, it kind of makes sense. Mark,
right after signing, was it Chase Daniel? Yeah. And that was the second year of Sam Bradford. So they already had a lot of dudes in the building when they traded up to get Wentz.
I mean, they're just, they're a quarterback factory. That's what they want to do. Get him in, coach him up, move, ship on. Like, that's what they do. So I think it sort of makes sense for them.
JP.
I think it's incredibly funny. And the reason I think it's funny is because I think the best way to be a backup quarterback in the NFL is you either have to be A, someone people like behind a starter that nobody likes, or B, somebody that nobody likes behind a starter that people actually like. Kenny Pickett falls in the second category. Jalen Hurts is very well liked, but Jalen Hurts is also coming off of a bad stretch to end the season and a really bad playoff game. How else do you want to make the PR look really good around Jalen Hurts? Show them that Kenny Pickett can be the other option. You gotta kind of give him like, hey, this is what the grass looks like on the other side. Better be happy with the guy we got now. So I'm really... honestly, that's the way that I look at it. It's the way that I'm looking at a lot of the backup QB things that the Browns have done, because the Browns have also kind of picked up on a lot of guys that like people, like generally people in the NFL kind of like to counteract the nasty man.
Let's get in Jameis here. Everybody loves Jameis. Let's talk about Jameis.
Or like Tyler Huntley or like DTR. Yeah. So now they have three guys who are generally likable among NFL eyes behind a guy that nobody likes, or in the Eagles case, a guy that a lot of people like. Jalen Hurts is really well liked among a large majority of NFL fans. And you put Kenny Pickett behind him, who nobody likes. So now you can kind of be like, all right, if Jalen goes down, you don't want to see what this offense looks like long term without Jalen Hurts. So this is an incredibly shrewd PR move. And I think Jalen Hurts should be very happy about this.
In that respect, I think it makes sense why they chose Pickett over Fields.
Yes.
Because Pickett helps balance things. Because if Fields is there, then he is legitimately like,
he's legitimately
we've seen him have, you know, he can run. Like, again, like the conversation becomes all the more kind. Okay. That was really well done, JP. I think this is the biggest success so far, the McDonald's. But Mark, you have the cup. The floor is yours for your McDonald's class.
The Carolina Panthers spent $153 million on a pair of guards and Damian Lewis and Robert Hunt. And this is, you don't need to check your clocks. You don't need to check your calendars, your phones. It is 2024. But I think this could kind of work. And the reason why I think it's going to kind of work is you've got a quarterback in Bryce Young who needs to develop, who needs to fix some things. And is my size, okay? And when you've got $153 million invested in two guards that can sort of protect those A gaps, keep you clean, not force you off the spot early in the down, I think that could be critical. And so, yeah, it's $153 million. Seems a little chaotic, but I'm kind of buying it.
I love what the Panthers have been doing. Like I said, they're maybe 5 years away from being 2 years away right now.
Yeah.
But it makes a lot of sense what they're doing. And it makes a lot of sense within the context of where the NFL is going. Like we've said, if we are going back to running the football, getting ahead of teams in the run game, spending $150 million guaranteed on guards makes a lot of sense. Robert Hunt is going to push a lot of people around at right guard. Damian Lewis going to push a lot of people around. And when you think about what Bryce Young needs to be at least, you need to get Bryce Young to be at least successful. You don't have to get him to be top 10. You don't have to get him to be top 5. You need to get him to be average. I think that is where a lot of the NFL is starting to shift a little bit, where I think a lot of teams are starting to become like, oh, we don't have to have a guy. We don't have to have Mahomes in here. If we can get Jared Goff and surround Jared Goff with one of the best offensive lines in football and premier players at every position, we can just San Francisco the heck out of this team. So I think with what Bryce Young can do, I think the most optimistic thing for him is, you know, you want to get the ball out quick. You want to run the ball, have heavy run the ball. Get him in the RPO game. You think a lot about what Tua did before he got Tyreek Hill. But when you think about what Deontay Johnson brings, who they traded for, a really good trade by the Panthers, by the way, trading for Deontay Johnson, not giving up too much. It's easy separation. We didn't mention A'shaun Robinson. Again, They know what they're doing. They know exactly what kind of defense. They know exactly what their philosophy is going to be. They want to stop the run and want to run the ball. And I think that's going to really help their young quarterback. It makes a lot of sense. But again, they're still quite a ways away, especially without having Brian Burns.
This is going to sound weird, and this is chaotic as well. I think the Panthers should be applauded is a strong word, but deserve some props for trading Brian Burns. And I don't mean it in the way it sounds, but like there were so many people who are rightfully dragging them for turning down, obviously, the Rams offer from a couple of years ago. But like, it's a different kind of sunk cost fallacy. Like to not give them up now because you had a bigger offer in the past, like just do it now. You know what I mean? Like, again, you like accepting and admitting your errors is a noble thing and a sign of maturity. And so like, it sucks, but at least they're capable of saying it sucks and they're not still holding on to it because it sucks. So I don't trust the Panthers by any stretch, but this was a good one, Mark. Okay, McDonald's has the chance to be the best category if JP can land this plane.
So my McDonald's is, it was initially going to be the Panthers, but Mark took that one. I'm going to go with a team that came in with a lot of money to spend in free agency, but haven't really gotten a lot of big names, but I still like what they're doing. And that's the New England Patriots. I really think the Patriots, it's been very quiet in terms of, oh, we thought they'd go for Calvin Ridley, got priced out of Calvin Ridley. Oh, I thought they'd be Daniil Hunter place. Well, Daniil Hunter goes to the Texans. Like, okay, we'll just spend a lot of this money kind of not nickel and diming, but getting a lot of quality role players, you know, getting Kendrick Bourne back, of course, coming off ACL tear, but Kendrick Bourne is still a really good number two or number three receiver. You can get him back, get a veteran in the room. Hunter Henry is a very good vet at tight end. Antonio Gibson is a really, really nice complement to what Ramondre Stevenson brings, especially in the passing game. And then defensively, I love what they have done. I love that they are able to bring back Anthony Jennings and Josh Uche. I think Sione Takitaki is a really cool fit in that defense. It really seems like they are building up the floor of this roster. You know, they want to try and get all it's like a batting order. They want to get their fifth, sixth, seventh of the batting order. They want to get those guys. So they want to get those guys locked up before trying to add the top of the order in the draft, which I think is really smart for a team where the Patriots are, who needs an influx of explosion and young talent. I think getting Christian Gonzalez back from injury is going to help a lot. I think keeping Onwenu, moving him to right tackle, that opens up a lot of possibilities. So I really have loved what the Patriots have done. I love what their process is going out this. And I also think it speaks a lot to Jerod Mayo as a coach and Jerod Mayo as a person and how respected he is within the Patriots locker room. Because Josh Uche turned down double-digit million-dollar deals to re-sign with the Patriots for $3 million. A lot of people would probably take those double-digit offers, you know, but re-signing with the Patriots, he believes in the Jerod Mayo vision, and I'm starting to buy in too.
Mark, this is you.
Yeah, I mean, I think JP kind of nailed it. No surprise there. And if you think back to where we were last week when we were wondering, look, the Patriots have all this cap space, but are they going to have to overpay because you don't have Brady, you don't have Belichick? It's sort of a new coach in Jerod Mayo, first-time head coach. Like, are they going to have to pay a player like Calvin Ridley a massive deal to get him in? That could have been their move. They could have overpaid for Ridley, and that would have been their big move, their only move perhaps. And instead, they sort of filled out, like JP said, the middle of their order. You know, they've got their big players back, some big players back in Uche. I think that's a big one for them. And now they could start to add. And the other thing the Patriots have done historical over the years is like that third wave of free agency, like from now on, when it's like the signings that really go under the radar, we won't add them to the tracker. JP's not going to grade it, but we're going to get to say October, November, and suddenly these players they've added these next couple of weeks are playing a big role for them. Like, that's the way they've historically done things. And if they can continue to do that and hit on some picks in the draft and get Gonzalez back, they could start the turnaround. I'm not saying they're going to nail it. I'm not saying they're going to be a playoff team. And they obviously have to do something pretty big with either that third pick with the quarterback they draft there or whatever they decide to do, trading out or however they approach it. They've got to get some moves right here going forward, but it's a good start.
Okay. This was a success. McDonald's is going to be kind of hard to top, if I'm being honest here.
Oh, boy.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
With threats to our nation waiting around every corner, adaptability is more important than ever. When conditions change without notice, quick strategic thinking is crucial, and with obstacles consistently impending, determination is essential in overcoming them. It's this willingness, decisiveness, and resilience that sets Marines apart. With our fighting spirit, we don't just fight battles, we win them. Marines are the constant our nation counts on to fight the unknown, and through adaptable problem-solving, we do just that. Learn more at marines.com.
We are over the hump, and we're now on the downward side. We have two categories left. I actually think the fifth one has potential. So we'll see. But category number four, prompt number four, whatever you want to call it. I mentioned tomorrow is the first official day of spring. It was a bit of an Easter egg. So name the most springy move of free agency. You can take this once again in any direction that you want. It can be associated with the time of year. It can be like a spring and a leap forward. It could be whatever. And so I will go first, and I will say the Tennessee Titans signing Calvin Ridley. Because did they significantly overpay? Absolutely. Did they upset our very good friend JP? 100%. Is it a little bit questionable? Certainly. But we aren't giving them the same benefit of the doubt. And I don't mean that the talent is the same as we are Houston or Washington or any of these teams operating with a rookie quarterback contract. I think that they deserve a teeny tiny benefit for that. Now, I recognize Calvin Ridley's age. I recognize all of the factors and variables, but I do think they're trying to spring themselves back into contention. They're very clearly, JP, I don't know if you would agree with me, the worst team in the AFC South. And I mean, it's not absurd that like some of these things could click and hit for them. I respect and appreciate them trying. I know you think highly of Calvin Ridley, or at least you will think highly of the memories. But so I think this got a little overly dragged.
So I'm really intrigued by the process in adding Calvin Ridley, especially with the Titans also being linked to Justin Simmons. They were linked to Eric Armstead. They're linked to a trade with Legarius Sneed. These are a lot of moves that a team makes that signals they want to win now. But, you know, the jury is still out on Will Levis. Can he be that guy? You know, it could ultimately backfire bringing in a lot of those guys who might not necessarily be, they might be in the prime of their careers, but starting to get on the back end of the prime of their careers, you know? So I really am intrigued by their process here, but Calvin Ridley's such a good player. He's such a good player. I think a lot of the struggles last year were him getting his sea legs back under him because he didn't play football for 2 years. And even after not playing football for 2 years, he still went over 1,000 yards. Like he is a very, very good player. I think he fits really well with DeAndre Hopkins in Tennessee. I will hate to have my team play against him for two times a year, but it's a really good fit for Ridley. And being able to do the things that he wants to do. The money, yeah, it's a lot of money. And I think a lot of teams were priced out by what the Titans could offer him. But you kind of see the process. I just wonder if this process makes sense for where they're at in the quarterback aspect of it.
Do you agree, quickly, JP, that he waited until after the new league year to help the Jaguars out?
Yes. I think the Jaguars playing the entire time, which again, very bad process, was to tag Josh Allen and wait until after the league year to sign Calvin Ridley. So you don't give a second round pick to Atlanta, which you ended up not doing, but you also don't have Calvin Ridley. You could have tagged Calvin Ridley, not given up that second round pick, and extended Josh Allen, and none of this would have been a problem, but you decided to be dumb and decide to play with Josh Allen's money by trying to turn him into a defensive end or outside linebacker playing that dumb game, but ended up franchise tagging him and then waiting until the last moment to try and offer Calvin Ridley money. And you know what? I'm turning this into a Jaguars thing. No.
Okay. Mark, you are the most, I think, Northern resident of Monday Football Monday. So spring is coming for you the slowest. You are wearing a sweater to that point. But name the most springy move at free agency in your mind.
Xavier McKinney to the Green Bay Packers. And it's a new direction, a new birth, spring, rebirth, all that stuff for the Packers on the defensive side of the ball. You bring it in a former college head coach as your new defensive coordinator. But one of the things that that new head coach did at Boston College, they were a single high team in a two high world. Like, I remember writing this when they, like, ahead of free agency, Boston College last year was like top 30% in single high snaps, according to Sports Info Solutions. They were near the bottom of all of college football last year in two high looks. Now you're getting Xavier McKinney, who is only 24. Doesn't turn 25 until August, who in a single high role is among the game's best safeties, whether it's PFF grades, other things you could look at. He's a tremendously talented post safety. And in his introductory press conference, their new defensive coordinator said, we need that position. He was perhaps the best option available in free agency. The Packers went out and got him. Safety was a massive need for them, and I think they fixed it overnight with perhaps the perfect fit.
Okay. Xavier McKinney's a good move. But, I mean, the process of letting Aaron Jones walk just to overpay Josh Jacobs, kind of weird. You know what I mean? It's kind of hard.
Yeah, that's weird. I'm not going there, but I'm just talking about this. Okay. This singular move is a new direction, a new birth for this Packers defense, and one they desperately needed because that position was not a strength last year. It suddenly is, I think.
Okay. I want to get to our last category, but before we do, JP, we need your most springy move, please.
The Pittsburgh Steelers training for Justin Fields is the most springy move to me. I think it signals that. First of all, this is a low-risk move for the Steelers. Trading a conditional six in 2025 that could be a fourth based on 51% playing time, there's really no risk to this at all. You know, I think from the Bears' perspective, they kind of overshot their market to start. I think they asked for too much, and then the market kind of dictated what they thought of Justin Fields. But I think for the Steelers, this is a perfect move that you make. You know, they have until May to figure out what to do with the fifth-year option for Fields. But if Russ stinks, then you have your quarterback of the future in Justin Fields. If Russ is good, that's a one-year deal. They can extend him if they want to. There is no risk here. You can keep Justin Fields around to be a high-end backup. He and Russ have similar skill sets and what they can do. So the game planning isn't too much different for Arthur Smith. This makes so much sense for Justin Fields, for the Steelers. You have a guy who can potentially be that QB of the future if you want him to be. And plus, like I said, if Russ stinks, then Justin Fields comes in. You can still make a passable offense out of that. And even if he does play over 51% playing time, you're only giving up a fourth round pick. Like, it's a incredibly shrewd move by the Steelers.
Well, the opposite of shrewd is love, I guess.
Hold on. We're looking this up.
I don't know what the opposite of shrewdness would be. Compassion maybe would be a better guess. It sounds like you actually are looking this up, JP.
I am.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, I kind of need that to.
I'm working on it.
Okay. Well, then.
Gullible?
The opposite.
Unwise? Unknowing?
Well, I think of shrewd as like kind of cutthroat. I mean, like, that's what I mean. That's the opposite I'm looking for, not intelligent. You know what I'm saying?
Oh, okay. Naive?
Yeah. Like, I'm looking at shrewd. Like, sometimes shrewdness is like void of emotion. You know what I'm saying? It's like, I'm going to do this like a robot would, which is obviously a wise thing. So, that being said, there are a lot of reports because I think you could have gone the Chicago side of the Justin Fields trade as a springy sort of thing because like hope anew, whatever, new era, whatever, blah, blah. There are reports, Mark, there are mixed reports on the subject of emotion that the Bears did right by Justin Fields. So how much stock do you put into this that Ryan Poles legitimately took less, you know, so that Justin Fields could go where he wanted?
I mean, there are at least some reports out there that four other teams were in the mix, but Fields preferred Pittsburgh, and so that's what they did. But it's clear that the market wasn't there. Mm-hmm. And so if one team was saying, okay, well, here's a conditional fifth that can go to a fourth based on 51% of snaps, and instead you take a six, and again, it's a 25 pick, so you kind of devalue those anyway. You know, the standard sort of way to do that reference point is like you drop it down around. That's what people in the league have told me. You're still haggling over late day three picks. Like, what's the point? And if you have an opportunity to do right by your guy, and then all it's going to cost you is, you know, a sixth round. You're going to get a sixth round pick or a fifth round pick. Sure. It's not like a huge sacrifice. We can be pretty confident in saying a team wasn't out there offered a first round pick for Justin Fields or a second round pick for Justin Fields, in which case they would have taken it. If it was just a matter of which late round pick do you want? Okay, they did buy him. So I kind of believe it.
JP, do you believe it or do you think this is a bunch of baloney?
I think they did right by him, but I also think that the Bears kind of screwed this up on their own. I think Ryan Poles messed up in kind of, like I said, kind of overshooting the market or what they thought Justin Fields would get. You know, initially I thought that Justin Fields was probably going to get a second, fourth, and sixth, kind of like Sam Darnold. But then the market immediately dictated what they thought of Justin Fields with Kenny Pickett getting traded first, Sam Howell getting traded first, Mac Jones going for a sixth. You know, like this, it felt a lot like all the backup spots were getting taken up. The Raiders were out on Justin Fields after bringing in Luke Getsy and signing Gardner Minshew for 2 years, $25 million. But this felt a lot like the Bears thinking that Justin Fields would be viewed a lot better among NFL eyes than how the Bears view Justin Fields. And I do wonder what this kind of says for QB development in terms of, like, we might be at a little crisis point for the NFL in terms of developing quarterbacks. But I also think that Fields still has a lot of questions to answer. He is still very talented. I still believe that Justin Fields can be an average starting quarterback in the NFL. It's just going to take a while. It might take Russ playing 50% of the snaps and then Fields coming in. You just never know. So I think the market quickly dictated what Fields' value was. And in the end, if Justin Fields said he wanted to go to Pittsburgh, they did right by him.
Okay. I'm glad that you're both optimistic people. You know, man, that's what I'd like to surround myself with. So respect. This last question, kind of a negative slant. Here we go. Who is the Rick Pitino of free agency? So for anyone who missed this, Rick Pitino's St. John's Red Storm missed the NCAA tournament. And Rick Pitino, in a point of serious pride, called the process fraudulent and openly said that they would decline an invite to the NIT, which I'm sure, Mark, you value highly, given that you value the first four. So that being said, take this however you want. Who is the Rick Pitino of free agency? And if I may, I'll go first. May I?
Go ahead.
I'm going to say, and you can kind of combine them into one single person, Jerry Jones and Stephen Jones. Get the hell out of my way, guys.
That was the easy one.
No, well, yeah. I'm taking it. I mean, because I am so pissed off at these losers. I mean, and I don't know. I legitimately don't know about either of you, but I never bought the all-in comment or whatever because I know better, because this is, you know, this is my territory here. But to gaslight Cowboys fans that way. And a lot of people knew better. I will give a lot of Cowboys fans credit, but a lot of people didn't. And a lot of people took it. So to gaslight them that way and then to like walk it back and say, well, we define it different. Like, it's so exhausting. I don't know if my opinion on this front means anything to either of you or Rochelle, but this is the most pissed off I've ever seen Cowboys fans, not just in my time doing this professionally, but like in my life. It's a confluence of the drought and the way they lost, and the fact that Philadelphia and Washington and New York are all taking big swings, and other teams, obviously, but the fact that, you know, the division is as well, and the fact that the Dak extension thing is hovering over the air. Granted, they did do a restructure today, this morning, on Monday, to provide a whopping $5 million in salary, $4 million, excuse me, in salary cap space. Like, it is amazing to me, JP, that 31 of 32 NFL teams and hundreds of professional and thousands of professional analysts across television, podcasts, radio, the internet at large, and millions of educated fans that have utilized all the resources accessible to them, including all of the analysis provided by the people I just mentioned, that all of these people, which once again includes the literal rest of the league, feel one way about this section of roster construction in the offseason. But the Cowboys, the team who is known for not accomplishing the most important thing for the better part of the last three decades, truly believe that they are smarter than the people I just outlined. JP.
I just want to know what the process here is. I think with free agency, and a lot of offseason moves, I want to know what the process is. You can tell what the vision is for what they want to be by the players that they add. What is the process here for the Cowboys? You let Tyron Smith walk. Okay, cool, fine in a vacuum. You have to have a tackle replacement. either you go buy it in the draft, or if you want to move Tyler Smith to tackle, again, I think that'd be a dumb move because Tyler Smith is a good tackle. You're creating a hole where an all-pro guard was. So now you have to go find an all-pro caliber guard somewhere else. You let Tyre Biotis walk. Now you got to go find a starting center. And the starting center class starting to dwindle down a little bit. Terrence Steele, that didn't have a great year last year. So maybe you're looking at right tackle. Again, you've created so many holes. You've created so many problems. Running back, you let Tony Pollard walk. Fine, in a vacuum. What is the plan? What is the succession plan after that?
In a weak draft class for the position, as Mark outlined a little while ago.
Exactly. The running back free agent market has dictated what the NFL teams think of this upcoming running back class. And you're going into this with Deuce Vaughn, who love Deuce Vaughn. He is 5'3". You cannot let that man be the bell cow of your NFL offense. You are not a serious football team. You can even go to linebacker. Of course, Leighton Vander Esch is going to get released. It had to happen. Leighton Vander Esch probably is going to retire, medically retire. He cannot keep playing. But what is the process here? Who are you adding? Eric Kendricks is fine, but Eric Kendricks is on the wrong side of 30 and is coming off some really bad football. So now you have to go and add another linebacker in the draft, again, where the NFL has dictated what they think of this linebacker class by paying Patrick Queen and paying Jordan Brooks and paying all these guys. So now the process is getting even worse. And now Trevon Diggs is still coming off a major injury and Stephon Gilmore still isn't signed. What's happening? Like, what is the belief in this team? If you're going to be all in, what moves are you making to be all in? You cannot say that and then sit on your hands and go, oh, well, we tried. AJ Dillon came in for a visit, left out a deal. We tried, you know, we tried with the guy who got cut by the Packers. You know, Aaron Jones is from Texas. Like, that was an easy move. It was right there. But it just feels like the process has been so bad for the Cowboys this year, especially in the offseason.
Mark?
I'm sorry, RJ. I mean, I'm sorry, buddy.
I'm also mad as a content creator. Like,
yeah, I mean, I think that's where I was going to go with this. Is like, what did you do last week? Did you just like say, you know, did you like start a website? Did you buy the domain? Have the Dallas Cowboys signed anybody yet? And just have it flash no over and over and just link to that all week long? Like, what did you do?
Do either of you know that Stephen Jones was at South by Southwest last week and the other part of the week? This is the man.
Really?
Yeah.
Was he at the Vox Media podcast?
I don't know, but I'm doing some media. At the very least, I'm certain he walked by it. Also, do you know the other thing that Stephen Jones did besides that? So he was at
Okay. I just want wrong answers only here. I just want wrong answers only for that.
Well, question. This is going to sound like a wrong answer, but it's completely true. He was at AT&T Stadium, which, hey, makes sense. That's the building where you guys play football, right?
That's way
more. You know, you don't put up the curtains, you know, that people ask you to help the football team, but whatever. So he was at AT&T Stadium, not for any football related events. PBR, I think the acronym is, I asked Stephen this, professional bull riding. I don't know this off the top of my head anymore, but they had an event there. So, of course, Stephen's there wearing a denim jacket that matched everyone around him promoting the PBR event. You know, Howie Roseman is like glued to 6 different phones and, you know, sending all sorts of texts and emails and DMs and signal messages and who knows what. I mean, meanwhile, Stephen Jones, we're straight chilling, man. We're at the PBR event.
He's in his Yellowstone era. What do you want, man?
We're complaining about, you know, and what frustrates me to no end is that there are people who still eat this slop up that are like, well, they have no salary cap space. What do you want them to do? They control this. Like, they completely could fix this like on their own. Do not fall for it. So, they are Rick Pitino, as far as I'm concerned.
What have the phone lines been like on your morning show?
Oh, dude. I mean, well, so like
is it just full-on despair?
There are really two camps.
Like, what's the, like, breakdown?
There are two camps. There's nobody in the middle here. I would say 70, maybe 65% of people are grab the pitchforks, let's go, screw these dudes. Like, you know, regulators mount up. We're riding to just, like, kind of take over things.
Oh, great reference.
Thank you. And the remaining 35 to 30%. Are the full-on cope people. Like, you know, we haven't signed anyone in free agency the last few years. We've gone 12-5, each of them. Like, this is exactly how they always do. They're going to be just as great. And the like, actually thing that breaks my brain the most is there are some people who feel like, don't worry, Like, they don't need to do anything. They're that deep into the cope. But these copers also think that Dak sucks, right? Like, oh, don't, like, there's something so great about the team that they don't need to add any kind of level of free agents whatsoever, but the quarterback is terrible. Like, something has to be saving them year in and year out if they're not, you know, adding any kind of notable talent. And I'm not saying they can't draft because they're an amazing, you know, team for the most part of that, but their draft class last year was horrible. And to your point, JP, even if you, even if the league or the draft class were deep at these positions that they need, you have a finite number of picks and you have completely telegraphed your intentions with regards to the draft. Everybody thought that the Bills jumped up to get Dalton Kincaid in front of them last year. I didn't buy that personally, but they absolutely need a running back. They absolutely need a linebacker. They might need a corner. They might need another defensive tackle. You just have no, I mean, they need everything. So maybe in that sense, like, you can't really telegraph anything, but it has been such a bummer of a week. I can't remember the last time I was down this bad. Thank God Man United won on Sunday. But okay. Mark, Rick Pitino, in your eyes. If this one's going to be hard to top, I recognize that.
Yeah, and I mean, it's probably the other organizations, like, thank God for the Dallas Cowboys, man. And that's the Buffalo Bills. I mean, because they still love Josh Allen, okay? So that's going to be okay. You're in a division where the Patriots are sort of trying to come back. You've got Aaron Rodgers coming back from when Achilles and the Miami Dolphins, who can't play when it's below 50 degrees. So you're probably still going to be okay. But you're seeing like 6,000 snaps from last year walk out that door. I mean, you've lost a lot of talent. Like, you've lost at one point what was perhaps the league's best safety tandem. Like, that seems to be gone. Like, Gabe Davis. And again, I know a lot of Bills fans aren't exactly elated with Gabe Davis, but, you know, those snaps are out the building. You've lost a lot of players. You've lost your starting center. So, look, they were just like Pitino. Like, you know, forget you guys. We're going home. We're not going to play. We're not going to play your silly little reindeer games. And if it weren't for the Dallas Cowboys doing what they didn't do over the past couple of weeks, days, we'd be talking about the Bills a lot more.
I think that's strong, but who's the, like, one person then? If you have to pick the Rick Pitino.
The Rick Pitino? I guess it's McDermott. I mean, I just, our good friend Matt Warren seems to have indicated over these past couple of months that, like, at some point, like, the Bills are going to come due from Sean McDermott. Mm-hmm. And are we there yet? I don't know, but at some point there's nobody else left to blame.
Well, we're setting up the season of volatility for him where, like, Bills fans, like, the fighting is going to be, what do you expect him to do? They didn't do anything.
Yeah, they didn't have exactly. Anybody. Yeah.
Wow, respect. Okay, JP, close us out with who is the Rick Pitino free agency in your mind that is not the Jones boys or, I guess, Sean McDermott?
The Las Vegas Raiders signed Christian Wilkins and then decided, like, ah, we're done. We're good here. Signed Christian Wilkins to a, I believe, a $110 million contract, $84.75 million guaranteed, a good deal for Christian Wilkins. Him and Max Crosby are going to be insanely fun to watch. But paying Gardner Minshew two years, $225 million, and $15 million fully guaranteed to do the same thing Aiden O'Connell does is really bad business. We talk about bad hoops and bad buckets that gets played. This is bad business by the Raiders. What is Gardner Minshew going to do? What is the benefit of adding Gardner Minshew to this room and still, I mean, it doesn't take them out of drafting a quarterback. It shouldn't. But paying Gardner Minshew $15 million guaranteed to be what? A bridge starter or to be a spot starter? What do you think Aiden O'Connell is just bad? Do you think you're a lot lower on the quarterback class? Like, it just screams really weird to me. And it screams that Gardner Minshew's probably going to start before the rookie gets any time. And I pray for Davante Adams, who's going to see a lot of overthrown and underthrown passes from Gardner Minshew. Just really weird by the Raiders.
Yeah. What does Gardner Minshew have to balance out, you know, in front of him? You know what I'm saying? Like, cause that's what he's there to provide. That's a great, like, kind of, you know, identified thing by you, JP. They're like the cool backup quarterback everybody loves. Is here to stabilize something. So, like, is it just the Raiders? I mean, like, is that what Gardner Minshew's there to help?
Is he here to stabilize the Raiders? Is he here just to look cool? I think we have surpassed the Gardner Minshew looking cool portion of the Gardner Minshew era. I think it was
I'm saying this as
a Jaguars fan who quickly got fed up with Gardner Minshew very soon. I feel like we have gotten entranced by the mustache and the good vibes. He's not a good quarterback.
I'm already so like so pre-annoyed at some Vegas-y storyline around Minshew. Like, oh, Minshew's out till 4 a.m. on the slots every night.
No, he's going to like be living in the desert in a van. Oh, like,
but, yeah, $15 million guaranteed, but he's living in the desert in a van. I mean,
doesn't that just sound like a Gardner Minshew?
Exactly.
Thing?
That's what I'm saying. Like, he's so crazy. He's so cool. Man, that was a home run for you, JP. Well done. Wow. Rachel, if you could please join us. And first of all, welcome back. You were very missed around here. Nothing was the same. So we're glad to have you home. Second of all, your thoughts on everything. And third, of course, the MF double MVP. Also, what did you have for dinner last night?
I was actually still in Dallas last night. And so I had Golden Chick for the first time.
Oh my gosh. Congratulations to you. Wow. Great call.
So it was pretty good. I was actually, you know, pretty satisfied with that. But shout out to RJ, because I feel like this was a very fun prompt. I like when we do the games because it requires creativity. Mind you, RJ did have extra time because he came up with them. But shout out to all of you guys for being able to be creative and like quick on your feet with these because you weren't really prepared. And so I'm just going to go straight down the list. I think Mark and JP, I gave you guys a tie for the first round because I feel like you both started off strong and you guys had to provide like the bonus one. And I feel like both of the points that you guys had were super, super strong. So the first one, I gave it to both Mark and JP. The second one, I think, was my least favorite out of all of them because I felt like it was kind of confusing. Everybody had a like different perspective. But I think that one, I'll give it to RJ. On Tyron Smith signing with Jets. The third,
he wore green. That's why he was the only one that wore green of what I mentioned.
Yes. So that one made the most sense to me. So I give that one to RJ. The Whit Donalds, I also agree, was the best one out of all of them. I give it to RJ with the Kenny Pickett to the Eagles, but I really, really, really like JP's point about the PR move, like the Eagles PR move and pretty much how, you know, everybody likes Jalen Hurts. Sorry, apologize. That's my dog. Everybody likes Jalen Hurts, but nobody wants Kenny Pickett, you know, pretty much. And so it is what it is. The second to last one that was about the most springy move, I gave that one to Mark. Xavier McKinney to the Packers. I think you did a strong one with that one. And then the last one, RJ got it. That was the best one out of all of them. And so, like I said, shout out to all of you guys. But today, RJ got the most points.
Wow. Some will say that I rigged the game. You know what I mean? And will they be wrong? I don't know. But, you know, facts are facts. I mean, the score doesn't lie.
The scoreboard don't lie.
Exactly. Wow. I want to thank Mark and JP and Rachel, of course, and Wick Donalds. Not an ad, but just, you know, how can you not? I also want to thank JP for contextualizing what Wick Donalds was. I think that really helped the conversation because I was kind of confused. So I knew I could count on JP, which is what we do. I also want to not thank the Jones boys for helping serve as the exclamation point on my candidacy here today. As we leave as the winner, I would like to ask Mark to tell us that if he were running for president, which NFL quarterback he would want to be his vice president and why.
Which NFL quarterback would I want to be my vice?
Doesn't have to be a starter. So it could be Gardner if you want.
Doesn't have to be a starter. Well, I mean, you kind of wonder the big states, right? The electoral votes. Like you want to hit a big bucket of votes. That makes Dak pretty attractive. I'm not going to lie. Like Texas is a big bucket of electoral college votes. And I mean, I think theoretically, philosophically speaking, I would be running from the left side of the political spectrum rather than the right side. So if I could flip Texas, it's ballgame. So give me Dak Prescott. Give me that big chunk of electoral college votes because I think Dak got to get me over the hump there. I think that would be a coup. So, yeah.
Nice.